producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to be joined by, in the next segment, by Dr. Hugo de Garis, artificial intelligence pioneer. We're going to talk to him about his book, The Artlike War, Cosmos versus Terrans, a bitter controversy concerning whether humanity should build godlike, massive, intelligent machines. And one of the interesting things about this book, not only does he lay out some of the principles of artificial intelligence and how he thinks it's going to get there, talks a little bit about the time frame, but the thing that I found interesting about it was his conflicted interest in this, because he sees this resulting in the extinction of the human species. Nevertheless, he feels compelled to create what he believes are going to be godlike artificial intelligences that he calls the Artileks. So we're going to talk to him in the next segment. We have some news that we haven't gone over just yet. I wanted to talk about this WorldNet Daily story that came up from Jerome Corsi. And, of course, it involves the appointment of Attorney General nominee Loretta Lynch. And it's her role in the Obama administration's decision not to prosecute HSBC and other banks for massive money laundering for terrorist groups, for drug groups. Remember when this came out, there was a lot of talk about not only are these banks too big to fail, but the Obama administration, under the previous attorney general, Eric Holder, said with his spokesperson, said, you know, it just wouldn't serve anybody's best interest for us to send any of these bank officials to jail. Anybody else doing this would be sent to jail in a heartbeat. Some of the most massive money laundering in terms of the quantity that they've done and the blatancy with which they did it we've ever seen. And not only did they just give them a slap on the wrist and a small fine, but as they were working on that, we've had on our show Everett Stern, who is a whistleblower who worked at HSBC. And he alleged that he was part of the group with the first time they got caught doing money laundering. They came in and said, all right, we're going to let you off if you will police this better. So they hired a bunch of people, and Everett was one of them, to look at the transfers, to scrutinize them. They had software that was supposed to flag this stuff. He asserts that it was simply a cover-up, that they were trying deliberately to look the other way. They were not training people to actually do anything with it, even as they were getting their hands slapped for a prior violation. He was pointing out that search terms, looking for individuals or organizations that were drug dealers or terrorist groups, that they would insert things like periods or spaces inside of the name so that there would not be a character match, so that these things would go through the automated filters. And did very little to train anybody to actually do any detective work. He says that when he started doing it, he got slapped down. Well, this is a whistleblower from HSBC, John Cruz, who is now talking about what he saw and talking about, again, Obama's attorney general nominee who was supposed to replace Eric Holder. And unfortunately, Eric Holder is going to be retiring. He's not going to a jail cell as he should be going based on the many things that he's covered up. Fast and Furious, the IRS scandals where the IRS is being used against political enemies. Seems like nothing will take him down. Nevertheless, some people are starting to pay attention to the HSBC whistleblower pointing out the attorney general nominee's role in the Obama administration covering up and just giving a hand slap to them. We also see that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama are having a wonderful Valentine's Day. This is really, I guess, we need to call back, you know, Robin Leach to talk about lifestyles of rich and famous. You know, champagne dreams and caviar wishes, or however that went. They have a very expensive getaway, according to the Daily Mail. The first family's Valentine's Day apart cost the taxpayers at least $2.5 million as Barack golfed in California while Michelle went on a secret ski trip to Aspen. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Dr. Hugo de Garis joining us from China. Stay with us.
receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Aging starts at the cellular level. When cells become toxic, they die early, and aging sets in.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries. During that period, G-patented compounds have focused on mitochondrial growth, nerve growth, and rejuvenation. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. We now have the synergistic solution. DNA Force, just one of the key compounds. BioPQQ is backed by major clinical studies and over 175 PubMed-listed published studies. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're going to be talking in this hour to Dr. Hugo de Garis, one of the pioneers of artificial intelligence, someone who's been a researcher in the subfield of artificial intelligence, the AI, that is known as evolvable hardware. And until his retirement in late 2010, he was professor at Xiamen University. He can correct me if I said that wrong, where he taught theoretical physics and computer science, and he ran the Artificial Brain Lab, funded by the Chinese government. And, of course, most of the governments have some kind of an artificial brain lab that is going on. Before we go to Dr. de Garis, I want to read this to you from his book, The Artelect War. This was written in 2005, about 10 years ago. Of course, he had identified the issue, the problem, sometime before he, quite a bit before he wrote the book. He's been working in artificial intelligence for over 30 years. This is what he said in this 2005 book. He said, the issue is far too important to be confined to intellectual discussions amongst a bunch of nerdy scientists. In time, it will concern everyone, because if Cosmos are serious in their threat to build Artelects, everyone will be affected one way or the other. So he says, an effective beginning to getting people to talk about the issue is to write a book, and a book will help journalists become familiar with the problem. They'll in turn write about it for the greater reading public, which we've been doing here at InfoWars for quite some time. We've been talking about it as well. Similar reasoning applies to TV and radio journalists who can present these ideas to an even wider audience, because unfortunately, only about half of the population reads books. That's right. We need to have this discussion. We need to understand what is being done in this country. It comes across when we see articles like we saw yesterday with DARPA
talking about jacking into the spinal cord so that they can bypass the optical system and directly implant images into the brain. We need to start thinking about these technologies that are so far over the top, that are advancing so rapidly, that are accelerating so rapidly. We need to step back and examine the social consequences of this. And so I want to do that with Dr. DeGaris, as well as have him lay out the case for the plausibility and the inevitability of it. And we're going to try to take your calls. He's graciously agreed to stay a little bit longer into the top of the third hour. If you've got some questions for Dr. DeGaris, and thank you for joining us, Dr. DeGaris.
Hello, thank you, David.
And thank you for coming on at this time. I know you're in China right now, so this is very, very early in the morning for you. Thank you for getting up and doing this.
I'm retired, right? I do what I like, and I've always been a night person. So for me, this is sort of like the middle of the day. It's the middle of my night, so to speak.
There you go.
So I'm wide awake.
Good, good. I wanted to ask you to kind of lay out the case. You think that it is not only highly probable, but that it is inevitable that we're going to have these massively intelligent artificial intelligence machines, the Ardlex. I want you to kind of lay out for us the two different approaches to AI and kind of get an idea of where we are in terms of current research on this. You disagree with Ray Kurzweil on the eventual outcome. He's someone who thinks that we're going to merge with machines in a kind of cyborg way. He also sees a utopian future. You're very concerned about this in terms of its conclusion, but I think you both kind of are taking the same approach to artificial intelligence, aren't you, in terms of modeling the human brain?
My best friend is Ben Goertzel, and he and Ray Kurzweil, I consider them the two guys. Probably, well, one of those two will be the first, I think, to achieve genuine human-level artificial intelligence. And Ben's way, I call his approach just simply the engineering approach. In other words, do whatever you like. You know, just take some idea and engineer it and see if you can get artificial intelligence out of it. And that's pretty much the approach that artificial intelligence researchers have been taking for, 60-odd years. And they've not been successful. We still don't live in an era of artificially intelligent machines. And the other broad approach is simply copy the brain. Now, we know that approach eventually will pan out because we only have to look at ourselves as the living proof that it's possible to put molecules together in a certain way and produce an intelligent, conscious creature, ourselves, human beings. We're the living proof that it can be done. Nature has found a way. But the bottleneck with that problem is we don't really know what intelligence is yet. We don't have enough knowledge of the detailed structure of the human brain.
That's a good question, Dr. DeGaris, because how do you define intelligence? I mean, I remember decades ago people talking about IBM's chess-playing programs and talking about that as being artificial intelligence. That's not really autonomous thinking. That's highly programmed. It's running through a lot of different probabilities and possibilities and doing it in a way that is faster than humans. But it's essentially relying on the programming of humans. It's not autonomous, independent thinking. How would you define artificial intelligence? I think you're talking about something completely different with Ardlex, aren't you?
Intelligence means just the ability to solve problems quickly, and the more difficult the problem, by definition, the higher the intelligence. So, my good friend Ben. In fact, would you be interviewing him at some stage?
Yeah, we'd like to. Yes, future? Yes, we'd like to.
Well, if you. I have to twist his arm a little. Ben would be very willing. So Ben's big thing is artificial general intelligence, which sort of answers your question, because today's AI is essentially very narrow. Mm-hmm. It's very specific and detailed, applied artificial intelligence to specific problems. Like Google's probably the best example of AI. But Ben's thing is AGI, with the emphasis on the G, meaning general. So a general artificial intelligence could solve just about anything, right? It would be a master of many, many different approaches to things. And if one approach doesn't work, well, it tries something else and so on until it solves the problem, which is pretty well what we do. We have zillions of modules in our brain that specialize in lots of little tasks, and they combine forces. And if one approach doesn't work, it will try something else until it solves the problem or it gives up.
Now, your approach is to essentially create an artificial brain, replicating what we see in human brains as much as you can in electronics and artificial components. And so you're looking at trying to get electronics to be very dense, very quick, looking at heat issues that are involved in that. And you believe that if you get this model close enough, if you build it, essentially consciousness will come. Is that correct? Is that an oversimplification? Well, or is that wrong?
No, that's fine. I mean, it's just common sense, really, right? If, it's big if, but if you copy the brain closely enough, long enough, and in sufficient detail, sooner or later you'll end up with some creation that mimics the brain very, very closely, and therefore it should behave in the same way. That's the basic idea. So,
So along those lines, how would you – we've got the DARPA Synapse Project. We've got the EU's Facets Project. Are those essentially working in the same vein in terms of trying to physically construct a brain that is modeled after the human brain?
Yeah. That's one of the two broad approaches. And you've got a lot of other people working in the more engineering approach. Mm-hmm. So those two broad approaches I see as the fundamental two. And there are all kinds of variants, but they're the two big ones.
Now, we also have the Brain Initiative that's been funded by the Obama administration, $200 million this year, $300 million next year. That's $500 million that they're funding. They're saying that it is to the human brain what the Human Genome Project is to DNA, that was trying to sequence the DNA. What do you know? What do you think about the Brain Initiative project?
I suspect a little bit of politics. I think they're trying to catch up to the Europeans, mm-hmm. who came out with a billion euro, actually, even more, brain project they gave to Professor, Markram in Switzerland to fund him to create an artificial brain that mimics very closely, in fact, even to the level of the connection between two brain cells, or two synapses, two neurons, as they're called. Markram, what's his first name? Henry. Yeah, Henry Markram. So he got a $1 billion research grant from the European Union to do this, to build an artificial brain. And what you're just saying, just a little before, the half a billion dollar project, similarly in America. I know the Japanese are also putting a lot of money in this. The time is ripe. Mm-hmm. The electronics, you're probably familiar with the Moore's Law in electronics.
Yes.
So, just quickly for those who don't. Moore's Law simply says that the number of transistors you can cram onto a computer chip keeps doubling, roughly every year or so. And this trend's been around since, mid-60s. So it's about half a century old, this trend, and it's still valid. It hasn't fizzled out. It's still true. So if you take any number and you multiply it by 2, you end up with a huge number. So the number of transistors on today's chips is up in the, I think it's now into the tens of billions, right? So you can put a lot of chips together in a computer box, and you can make a very powerful system. So the electronics is now enabling readily, within reasonable costs, the production of artificial brains. So it's not surprising you're seeing these artificial brain projects popping up all over the world like mushrooms. So I see it's only a question of time before I call it the IQ gap.
Yeah, you have several different arguments as to why you think this is going to lead to the rise of the Artilex in your book. And, of course, one of those is the military momentum argument, as you point out, an intelligence gap, just as we had a space gap with Sputnik. We got concerned about that. There's always this competition between different governments that they don't want to get left behind militarily, and they tend to view everything from a military standpoint. As Eisenhower pointed out, it's the military-industrial complex. Part of it would be that it would take over pretty much all research at the universities, and that's, I think, we're seeing a large part of that happening now as well. I want to, when we got to go to break, when we come back, I want you to lay out how you see this coming to a conflict. And I want to talk about the time frame that you also see this happening. And stay with us. We're going to be right back. We're talking to Dr. Hugo de Garis, one of the pioneers of artificial intelligence. We're talking about the Arlek War. And we're going to be talking in the next segment about Cosmos and Terrans. Stay with us.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWay.com.
Hi folks, Alex Jones here with some important information. I want to tell you about Matt Redhawk and his team of patriots over at My Patriot Supply. Several years ago, Matt was sitting in his two-bedroom apartment, frustrated with the direction this country was headed and the charlatans willing to sell us out for a quick buck. Deciding to take action, a company run by patriots for patriots was born. My Patriot Supply has never taken a loan or accepted outside funding. They now operate two distribution facilities and employ over 50 hard-working American men and women. It is rare to find companies who practice what they preach. And that's why I stock my pantry with high-quality storable foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today for special offers on emergency food storage or call their preparedness specialist at 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Do business with someone who shares your values. MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness: the phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. SimpliSafe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, SimpliSafe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it. And that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. SimpliSafe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's SimpliSafeDefense.com.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a-goin' dry.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Dr. Hugo de Garis from China right now. That's where he is in the middle of the night, but he's graciously consented to come on and talk to us at this time. And Dr. de Garis, there's an article that's up on The Guardian today, Artificial Intelligence and Nanotechnology, quote, threaten civilization. Of course, nanotech is one of the enabling technologies that you envision for a runaway godlike artificial intelligence to take place, it has potential end-of-the-world problems itself, doesn't it, with gray goo?
Well, yeah, nanotech combined with superior knowledge on how the brain works, coming from neuroscience, nanoelectronics, see a real wedding between those two. So neuroscience on the one hand and nanoelectronics on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is heating up already. So in the 2020s, I think you'll start seeing what I call the IQ gap, mentioning a bit before.
Yes.
The IQ gap between human-level intelligence and machine, and particularly home robot-level intelligence, that gap in the 2020s, will seriously start to close. And then you can imagine billions of people asking the same questions. And are we going to allow machines to become as intelligent as we are? Could they become more intelligent? Isn't that threatening? Is this something we can stop? What about the rivalry with China, between China and America for the dominant power of the planet? You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So I see a real debate heating up. Well, it's starting a bit now. I don't know if you're interested, but
yeah.
I could go through the various phases.
Yeah, and I want to just mention, I threw that term out there, gray goo, for people who haven't looked at it. There's the idea that, again, nanotech could turn into a runaway process as well, just start replicating and essentially get out of control, like the old science fiction movie The Blob with Steve McQueen in it. So all of these technologies, there's a concern that it's going to reach some point, because technology is accelerating so fast, that there's a concern that it's going to reach a point at which it runs away from us. And, of course, you believe that with artificial intelligence, once it gets to a human level of independent thought, that it's going to essentially run away because it's going to start redesigning and improving itself. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, once you have a machine, remember, a machine is thinking a million times faster than we do, right? Our human brain cells, we're thinking, our cells are communicating between each other at about 100 meters a second. That's sort of maximum speed. Whereas an electronic brain, it would be thinking at the speed of light, right? The signals between the components in electronics is the speed of light, which is a million times faster. So these machines, when they start reaching human level of intelligence, plus their million-fold faster thinking speeds, very quickly they could redesign themselves, right? And then the product could redesign itself, so on and so on. And then you get a kind of acceleration, and so very quickly you get into hyper-intelligence. And the physics of computation predicts that these machines could become literally trillions of times more intelligent than we are. So they would be veritable gods.
I guess in the short term, one of the things that I'm more concerned about, of course, is the military, the kind of DARPA uses of machines. You're saying that as robots go into our homes and so we start using them domestically, the mass public is going to look at this and say, wait a minute, these things are getting smarter every year. They may wind up taking us over. I'm concerned about the robots that we're seeing as we've had Dr. Noel Sharkey on. He's concerned about killer robots, about autonomous killing machines that we use as part of a military competition. Worried about that getting out of hand. You see a different way of this turning into an artificial intelligence war. You see different factions breaking up over whether or not we should continue to move forward with technology versus those who say we need to put the brakes on it, stop it, or maybe even completely disassemble it. Could you break that down for us real quickly here, the Cosmos versus Terrans?
Okay. Well, those two scenarios that you've been mentioning, I see they'll proceed in parallel. You know, the great rivalry between the rising China, mm-hmm. and the declining U.S. So if you're – imagine you're Minister of Defense and you have control of the research budget on one side, whether you're Chinese or American. You do not have the luxury to allow the other guy on the other side to get ahead of you in terms of, say, the level of intelligence of your soldier robots or whatever. So that rival will go ahead. But on the second scenario with the domestic side, the commercial, getting music.
Yes, hang on. We've got to go to a commercial break. Right after the break, we're going to have Dr. Degaris break down his central thesis that he put out in a book 10 years ago, Cosmos versus Terrans. And see how this might break out other than a competition between military powers. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Hugo Degaris.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
In the near future.
When you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball.
Alert. Security alert. This is Homeland Security. Analysis. InfoWars building independent media operations.
But the worst people get controlled and tell us that we are the ones responsible.
Prime directive. Discredit Alex Jones.
Jones is the wildly popular conspiracy theorist.
It's a popular conspiracy theory talk show called InfoWars.
Alex Jones is now in an Austin jail.
These people are assault.
Targeting of patriots engaged.
They are never going to stop. They're never going to deviate from their program until we stop them.
Block free iPhone app at InfoWars.com. Block free podcast and video feed. Imperative destroy Prison Planet TV.
You gotta set your eye on the enemy, not worry about what propaganda they put out. Intellectually, it's begun. You can feel it.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world, another time, as life was green and good, until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we have on the line with us Dr. Hugo Figueres from China. He's retired there now, but he's been one of the pioneers in artificial intelligence. 10 years ago, he's laid out a very formal case for an artificial intelligence war, a war over the development of artificial intelligence. He saw this breaking down into two camps. He termed those two camps Cosmists and Terrans. And so I want to get his definition of those two camps. Now we want to talk about how close he thinks that is to happening. And I want to talk to him about what I would call, Dr. Garris, your conflict over seeing this breaking out into possibly the extinction of the human species, yet nevertheless being drawn to continue the development of it anyway. I guess I would call it the Daguerreau's paradox, maybe.
I want to talk to you about that because I think that's something that at every level, scientists and engineers, especially those working with the military industrial complex, need to be thinking through these issues, the ethical considerations about what they're doing, the consequences of what they're doing. So I want to get to that. But before we do, break down for us your idea of these two competing camps, the Cosmists and the Terrans.
Okay. If you ask me, what was the dominant global political question of the 19th century, I'd say probably it was Marx's question, you know, who should own capital? And that question just divided society bitterly into the communists and the capitalists. And we almost had a nuclear war in 1962 over that relatively trivial issue. But the equivalent dominant global political question for the 21st century, I see again in four words, and that would be, should humanity build artelects? Now, an artelect is an artificial intellect. In other words, a godlike, massively intelligent machine with mental capacities, say, you know, trillions of times above the human level. So the people I label in favor of building those godlike machines, and it'd be a kind of religion for them almost, I mean a scientifically based religion, but a religion in a certain sense, because they would be building gods, and that's a motivator. And on the other hand, the people who are opposed to building these artelects, I call them Terrans. That's not terror as in terrorist, but terra, the earth. Because that's their perspective. They want, their number one priority is that human beings should remain the dominant species and most intelligent. Whereas the cosmists, that's based on the word cosmos, you know, the universe, that's their picture. Because they see that if humanity does decide to build these godlike machines, these artelects, then probably very quickly they would decide, you know, what are we doing on this little hit planet called the Earth when there's a whole universe, you know, there's a whole cosmos out there to explore, and that cosmos may contain beings far, far superior to what they are, these artelects, because they've been around for billions of years longer than we have. Our sun, our star, is only, what, a third of the age of the universe?
So hang on just one second, Dr. DeGaris, because we're showing some of the slides that you had sent us about your presentation. And I'm looking at the one here where it has the stars, and it says Cosmos, and it has cyborgs, which is Ray Kurzweil's understanding of this. And we see part man, part machine. And then the one in the middle, it says Terran, and it shows the Terminator robot. Now, I would look at that as thinking that was kind of more on the Cosmos standpoint, but why would you choose the Terran, for the Terran picture, why would you choose the Terminator robot?
Because the number one worry, concern of the Terrans is that if the Cosmos go ahead and actually build these artelects, and then the artelects become massively intelligent and so superior to human beings that they look on us as an inferior pest. Who's to say?
That's the vision of each of these groups, the vision of the Cosmos
to reach out and start. It's either their greatest vision, their greatest wonder, mm-hmm. their sense of awe, or their greatest fear.
Let me interject in here just momentarily. You know, Elon Musk is very concerned about a dystopian outcome from self-aware artificial intelligence. I think it's interesting that he's also developing SpaceX. You think he is trying to come up with a plan B so he's got an escape port to get out of here in case this all goes down pretty bad?
I had a scenario in my book that a bunch of Cosmos researchers, they get in a rocket and try to escape from the Earth to get away from the Terrans.
Yes.
But the Terrans, I would argue, would be so fearful that if this escaping rocket did succeed in building artelects, who's to say that the artelects might decide, we want to get back to the Earth. It's so full of raw materials.
That's true. And we've seen a lot of aspects of your book, The Artelike War. We've seen that mirrored in movies when you're talking about Cosmos trying to escape into a near-Earth orbit or whatever to hide out. It reminds me of what we saw in Elysium. And, of course, with Transcendence, they borrowed quite liberally from your scenario, didn't they?
Yeah, there's an amusing little story behind Transcendence. Do you want to hear it?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, a couple of years back, I got hired by Warner Brothers to be the tech advisor to a movie that was to be called Twilight Zone. It was to be a remake of a popular 50s science fiction series, Twilight Zone. And so I was trying to look, advise them strongly, saying, look, make the background story as realistic as possible, set maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 years in the future, where AI is really becoming not a piece of science fiction anymore, but it's getting real, real AI. And to the point where people are getting alarmed, people are taking sides, vigilante groups are being set up. Now, in the movie Transcendence, that group was called Rift. So in the movie, what was called Rift is the equivalent of what I call Terrans. So the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't hear anything for a while. So I assumed the movie just died. That often happens in Hollywood. And then suddenly up come flyers and trailers for this movie Transcendence. And I look at it and say, hey, that's my story. So what do you think happened? Because Transcendence is Warner Brothers, right? It's a Warner Brothers merge. So what I'm deeply suspicious happened was
it wouldn't be the first
the ideas
time.
Were transferred from one my movie to the other movie, and then that way they didn't have to pay me the five-figure bonus for getting the movie filmed.
That's
I'm
true.
Feeling rather pissed.
That wouldn't be the first time something like that happened. Now, you're looking at essentially a conflict, people being concerned because they see rapidly advancing artificial intelligence. Perhaps they see control of their life slipping away, increasingly power being concentrated. Maybe there's massive unemployment that people are concerned about because of the use of lower-level artificial intelligence. So people start to push back against it, especially those who are concerned that it may become the kind of threat that we saw in the Terminator movie. We're talking about movies, where Skynet becomes self-aware, and then they start acting like we saw Sarah Connor's act in Terminator 2, where she starts going after, let's say, key scientists. We actually had this already happen in real life, didn't we, with the Unabomber, with Ted Kaczynski going out. If you look at his manifesto, that's exactly what he was concerned about. He was targeting what he thought were key scientists, doing it in a very violent way, trying to blow them up with letter bombs and that sort of thing. But that's essentially what you see happening, even if we don't get to the level where we have super intelligent artificial intelligences that become self-aware, the Artilex as you refer to them. Even if that doesn't happen prior to that, it would be the idea of it or the implementation of the early stages of it would set different camps in humanity against each other into a violent war.
Yeah, indeed. It depends on whether the level of development of artificial intelligence is quick or slow. The guys in the specialists in this area, they talk about slow takeoff and fast takeoff. I don't know if you're familiar with those terms. So if there's a fast takeoff, meaning that these machines rapidly become ultra intelligent, then there may not be enough time for human politics to unfold. So they're just there. It's just fait accompli. And so then humanity's fate would lie in the hands of these artifacts. But I think it's more realistic to say probably there's going to be a slow takeoff because trying to figure out how the human brain works is a very, very difficult problem. So probably the most realistic scenario is I see that humanity will have enough time to react politically as these machines get smarter and smarter. And the time frame, you mentioned a bit about the time frame, I see the home robot industry becoming one of the biggest and richest in the world, say, by the end of the 20s, so say, a decade and a half from now. And so as they become, these machines become more and more intelligent and more useful, then people will buy them because if these machines truly can walk the dog and babysit the kids and tell you stories and entertain you and sex you and educate you and all these things, people will pay big money, maybe even more than for a car, just to have a home robot. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a year or two later, they upgrade their model. They go and trade in their old one for a new one, and the new one has a much richer vocabulary and a sense of humor and it's cynical and it can do far more things. Then once you've had several upgrades like this, then millions, billions of people will be asking the same questions. Will these machines become smarter than we are? And then that will set what I call the species dominance debate. Really start raging in the 2020s.
Perhaps, Dr. Dagaris, what might happen as we become increasingly dependent on them might be an extrapolation of the same thing we see as people become increasingly self-absorbed into social media and games. We might see the human race not being necessarily overtaken by the machines, but maybe the human race will descend into some kind of an idiocracy that is below the level of the machines that we currently have now. So we've talked about the economic momentum that might lead to this. We've talked about the military momentum, the competition between nation states that might drive this kind of rise of artificial intelligence. I want to talk about your argument that you make in the book, that what really kind of motivates you, even though you think this might result in the extinction of the human species, you're driven to do it because you see yourself, almost as you mentioned earlier, a scientific religion, the enticement of building artificial gods. That's something that motivates you very strongly, isn't it?
Well, don't forget I'm retired. See, I do not want to be a Terran assassins. That'll be for younger guys.
That's okay, right. So, yeah. You're not involved in the fight anymore.
All you potential Terran assassins out there, just don't forget that. But I'm retired. I don't do this stuff anymore. Now I'm a globicator. I make YouTube videos for PhD level math and physics to educate the planet for free. That's my new career. So I don't actually build artificial brains anymore.
And what's that website? Go ahead and tell everybody what that website is.
Can you show it on screen? So it's prof.
Yes.
Prof. Are you able to show it on screen?
Yes. Yes, we can. Yes. Prof. Hugo Dagaris. Okay. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have the actual?
They've got it up right now. ProfHugoDagaris.wordpress.com, and people can see that up there right now. Okay. And so that's what you're doing right now as a retired person. So if you're out there and you're angry and you want to pull a Unabomber Ted Kaczynski on somebody, he's not your man. leave him alone. He's just looking at this stuff and talking about the argument behind it. Yes, go ahead.
Right. So I've been advising my friends and colleagues, like, for example, those who are active, they're going to have to be increasingly careful. Now, it's too soon now, but when they get into the 2020s and the species dominance debate really starts heating up, should humanity build artifacts? When that question is on everyone's mind, then all these nutcases will come out of the woodwork, and so these developers will have to be very careful where they go and appearing in public and so forth. And I can imagine companies like IBM and Google and so on, they will definitely have to beef up their security.
Yes, that's something that everybody is talking about now in the mainstream media, at least the idea that there is a potential of some kind of a threat down the road. This was not something that anybody other than sites like InfoWars was talking about a few years ago. We've been talking about how this might go down badly, and of course we were just dismissed as wide-eyed conspiracy theorists. I'm sure you've had a lot of people tell you they think that this is pure fantasy as well.
Yeah, well, now the idea is out there, right? Because because of the movie Transcendence. Billions of people have seen that movie, and the idea's in their heads. So, what did Rift do? They were assassinating the principal artificial brain researchers and sabotaging the artificial brain companies and so forth. So Google, IBM, etc., they need to pay attention. This is something that will very probably happen in the 2020s. That's my prediction. That's my time frame.
Talk to us a little bit about this conflict that you have, about wanting to build this massively intelligent artificial intelligence, even though you think that it may have a dystopian outcome. The fact that you're concerned about this, you have arguments on both sides, for the cosmists, as you call them, and as for the Terrans who are opposed to this kind of, or concerned about how this is going to get out of hand. Yet you yourself describe yourself pretty much in the cosmist camp. You're really drawn to the idea, not that you're doing the research anymore, but you're drawn to the idea that we need to create these godlike artificial intelligences that may kill us. I find that paradox to be very interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm torn. Mm-hmm. decade or two. I'd give lots of talks, and I still do, and I'll invite the audience to vote. I'll say, okay, you've been presented with the arguments, pro and con, you know, should humanity build these artifacts or not? Let's take a vote. And often the split would be pretty well 50-50, pro artifact and against building artifacts. And then people after a while would come up to me and say, Hugo, I'm so torn. You know, on the one hand, the idea that billions of human beings might get exterminated as a result of this, that absolutely horrifies me, and it does me too, of course, personally. And on the other hand, building these godlike creatures is like hypnotic, right? It's our pathetic, puny, little human lives that get snuffed out in a mere 80 years in a universe that's billions of years old. Yeah, that's the kind of vision that the cosmists have. Mm-hmm. They would be building gods that would be immortal.
We've got to go up to a commercial break. Hang on, Dr. DeGaris. We've got to go to a commercial break. We're going to come back with Dr. Hugo DeGaris, artificial intelligence pioneer. We're talking about the first artificial intelligence wars, what that may be based on. We're going to talk when we come back about some of the objections that people have brought up to the idea that this could happen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This hour brought to you by InfidelBodyArmor.com. When it hits the fan, don't be left without the body armor that will save your life. With prices starting at just $374.99 and ships free. Get yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Just won't quit.
Hi, Ted Anderson with Midas Resources. Is it time to convert paper 401ks and IRAs to solid gold and silver yet? Get our 10 Reasons book free. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Harvest Right, the makers of the only in-home freeze dryer, would like to present to you their greenhouses that double as emergency shelters. Their greenhouses simply snap together, no tools needed. As a greenhouse, it will stand for decades. It's incredibly strong, long-lasting, and it can be quickly put up or taken down. It is also ideal when used as an emergency shelter. Learn more about this great greenhouse and the money you can save over the big box store prices at HarvestRight.com. That's HarvestRight.com.
The month of February is all about Valentine's Day. Big heart-shaped boxes filled with delicious candy. What if we, the Patriots, hijacked Valentine's Day and instead made it about human liberty and individual empowerment? I'm all about human potential. I'm all about the individual being empowered. The establishment is the opposite. That's why they spike our water with fluoride, GMO, estrogen mimickers, and the rest of the garbage. InfoWars is striking back in the month of February with Human Empowerment Month. How we can come together and win the human race. And to celebrate the kickoff of Human Empowerment Month, we're slashing prices on InfoWarsLife.com products like Super Male and Super Female Vitality. The sale is only running for the month, 20% off, and there's a lot of other powerful specials at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWarsLife.com, celebrating human potential in the month of February. Visit InfoWarsLife.com to find this special and many others in the month of February. Again, InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, and we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. Before we go back to Dr. Hugo DeGaris, artificial intelligence pioneer, he's in China now, he's retired. Before we go back to him, I want to let you know that we have several specials up. We have a month of February special at InfoWarsLife.com. We have 20% off of Super Male and Super Female Vitality. You'll also find at InfoWarsLife.com 15% off ProPure water filters. And we have a special introductory offer for Ancient Defense, our newest supplement. If you buy two Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, you'll get one Ancient Defense for free. So support our operation. Go to InfoWarsLife.com. You'll find those February specials there. Dr. DeGaris, as we've been talking about the coming conflict over artificial intelligence, whether or not we should proceed with that. One of the things that concerns me is that artificial intelligence as a weapon by a small elite group that we've seen, as we talked about the military aspect, the military competition between different countries, we see really, I think, the thing that concerns me as an engineer, I can consistently see technology being used now in a very dark way. And I think it's because, as Eisenhower warned us with the military-industrial complex, we see really that DARPA and military-industrial complex has pretty much taken over research at the university. And I'm concerned that whenever we see in the past, throughout history, whenever technology is widely disseminated, then we have liberty. We have freedom of the people. But when it is concentrated in the hands of a few, then we see that society trends towards tyranny and despotism. So that's one of the things that concerns me about artificial intelligence.
Well, I personally, I have a real hatred of the international central banksters and all their cronies and all the horrible things they've done in the 20th century. I'd like to see those guys put behind bars.
As would so, I.
You know,
yes.
I share a lot of your goals that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why I see the Terrans becoming absolutely paranoid is that it may be technologically possible within a decade or so for just a small team of cosmists in their basement to build artificial brains that then accelerate into hyperintelligence very quickly. So I can imagine the Terrans at government level.
Mm-hmm.
Going on a kind of witch hunt. You know, they'll be sneaking into everybody's lives, trying to, you know, is this guy a cosmos? Is that guy a cosmos? And so on.
Or there may be people at the governmental level that are using the work of the cosmos for their own particular agenda. That's what really concerns me.
I've got a book chapter coming out pretty soon. How will the Artelect War start? You're trying to dream out various scenarios, and who knows, there may be even at government level, different governments, some Terrans, some Cosmos, and eventually it goes nuclear, so there you get your gigadet. So it's very hard to predict the detailed scenario that will actually unfold, but the debate will heat up in the late teens, it's starting now, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 20s, it'll get hot. In the 30s, I predict it'll go political. We'll be into what I call the fourth phase, the political phase. You'll start getting the terrorism and the sabotage and the assassinations and so forth. And then after that, it's very hard to predict. But it's such an issue that will dominate and divide humanity so bitterly because the two ideologies are just so powerful. On the one hand, you'd be building gods. And on the other hand, you're risking the survival of the human species.
Yes, so, absolutely. And the question is, just kind of like you mentioned, they were initially talking about your Twilight Zone movie. There was a Twilight Zone episode that was called To Serve Man. These aliens who come in and give this beneficial technology to people, and then at the end of the episode, somebody sneaks into the ship and sees that To Serve Man is actually a cookbook. And so that's what we always need to worry about with this. We're going to come back. We're going to take your phone calls. If you've got any questions for Dr. Hugo DeGaris, he's consented to take those. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. We're going to talk about some questions and objections that people have.
Stay with us. Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Used since before the days of the Roman Empire to support the body's natural systems and enhance overall health. Introducing the new InfoWarsLife.com oil of oregano formulation, a highly advanced nutraceutical form of this key herb that has been traditionally used by civilizations for thousands of years to promote health. We have now procured the most high quality and potent forms of oregano oil on the market, sourced from top leading manufacturers to ensure a concentrated level of bioactive ingredients.
extracted directly from the wild herb and sealed in easy-to-use capsules. You will no longer need to endure the burning of liquid oregano on the tongue. Wild-crafted from the Mediterranean oregano species that experts agree is one of the most powerful and most challenging to acquire. This winter season, it's more important than ever to secure this true form of oil of oregano. Now available in our limited first run at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.